Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas is Naomi Sophia Call. Thanks for being with us, Naomi.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Can we start off by having you tell our listeners how you got involved in animal issues?
Well, it's been kind of a lifelong journey, I think. I, in college, first became vegetarian, and kind of by default, really, back then, which was quite a long time ago now, I had a couple of roommates who wanted to kind of save some money, and so we just kind of started eating vegetarian, but I was working in a restaurant, and I had grown up with a very standard American cuisine. You know, animal products were on the table for every meal. And whenever I saw kind of large quantities of the animals coming into the restaurant, it was very, like, it was kind of like for the first time, I think, it was very challenging for me. And so, fortunately, I had a very both wise and compassionate manager. And I went to her and I said, you know, could I do something different? Like, could I, like, make some other food other than, you know, because we would have to go to the meat slicer and do these things. And so at the time, we didn't have any vegetarian entrees at all. And so she said, well, try and make something up and see how it goes. And it kind of really took off. I think it was just the right time in the 70s. And then they wanted to open another restaurant. They asked me to kind of design the whole menu. And even though I hadn't planned on being so involved with food and nutrition, I obviously there was another plan, and I was very much a part of it. And then right about the early 80s, macrobiotics was, I would say, probably at its peak in the United States. And I had a sister who was also very interested in health foods. And we got involved with macrobiotics, which basically we didn't call it vegan back then. And most macrobiotics were not even pescatarians. And I just got more and more involved in seeing firsthand the difference that it made for people to begin dropping out animal products. And I myself felt quite a huge difference. In college, I ate tons of dairy products, and somebody had given me like a 30-day challenge, and they said, just try macrobiotics for 30 days, which basically was, in my case, especially because I didn't eat fish, was like saying be vegan for 30 days. And I was actually confident that I would not feel different. Very clear that, you know, I feel great. I'm like 20 years old. I have tons of energy. I was slim. I was healthy. And it was astounding to me that when I took dairy products out, how much healthier and vibrant I felt, how much easier it was to get up and wake up and have energy. And so it kind of started from a health approach. And I am I've kind of gone on to be a healthy living consultant and coach and yoga teacher. And so I've been very involved coming from the human animal health aspect. And somewhere along that way, like, it just really started, the dots more and more were connecting, and more information, thanks to organizations like, you know, PETA, these very horrific undercover videos that really most of us can never watch. It just, once I really understood the depth of what was happening to farm animals, it just became more and more, I think, my mission, even though I was standing as an advocate for human health, the inspiration became much more driven by the farm animals. And then as we began to learn about methane, you know, as somebody who leads a very organic and simple life, it just, you know, kind of like every single thing came together to make sense that this, we have got to make a change here. So it's kind of been a multifaceted.
I think I find the same thing to be true, is that you go in for one reason and then suddenly all these other reasons come along and make so much sense.
Right.
Yeah, for further solidify you, your beliefs and make you feel like you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You're the producer and co-director of a documentary film called Call to Rescue. So why did you decide to take a look at the farmed sanctuary life and try to, you know, see what life is like there?
Well, I think it was a combination again. I spent a little time on a farm animal sanctuary, a couple of them actually, and I was so taken by the level of compassion that the founders and the people who were driving the sanctuaries, you know, they just exuded this level of going above and beyond anything that I feel I'm humanly capable of. I feel like I've really dedicated my life to making a difference, but here are these humans who were picking up the pieces of some of the most abused beings on the planet And it was remarkable to watch what they were capable of doing. And so I just, you know, I came back and I was saying to, I'm very blessed to have two sons. We're kind of an unusual film team. I have two sons based in L.A. who have exceptional experience in cinematography. And I said, you know, I think we just have to do a short. Like, I want to tell the story. I don't think enough people realize, one, that there's farm animal sanctuaries that exist, and two, how important they are. And so it kind of started from a little bit of time on the sanctuary grounds, and then it was also a point in my life where I sometimes, as many people do, start to feel so overwhelmed with how many issues or challenges that are facing us. And, you know, whenever I really looked at, again, those aspects of human health, animal well-being, and planetary degradation, it was like, what's the one thing that I could really channel and focus my attention in that would make the greatest impact and difference? And again, it was just very clear for me that it was, okay, we have to end factory farming. And I'd already kind of been on a mission to end factory farming with a small organization that we have online that encourages people to give up eating animals for 30 days, which was something that I had done that, you know, made such a difference for me. And you know, our organization was doing what it was doing, but I just am so aware that film is incredibly powerful at communicating a story. And I watch all the documentaries that come out, and Cowspiracy, hopefully a lot of your listeners have viewed Cowspiracy. I would highly recommend viewing Cowspiracy if they haven't. And what I saw in Cowspiracy is that there's an enormous amount of information that's brilliant and hopefully very inspirational. And interestingly, Cowspiracy kind of leaves off, not to give anything away, I don't think, but kind of leaves off at a farm animal sanctuary. And as a yoga teacher and someone who leads people through meditation and very heart-centered practices every day, I felt like what we really need is a film that's very heart-centered, that's steeped in demonstrating and showing the level of compassion with the intention that we reconnect people with that innate wisdom and compassion that we all come in with, right? And again, we started off thinking we would just make a short. It has become a feature-length documentary. I was so moved by not only how different all the sanctuaries are, but all their different stories. And so, yeah, it actually ended up becoming about a 2-year project with my son.
So much for a short.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I remember back in the 70s when Farm Sanctuary was about the only one we knew about. And now, you know, I don't know how many there are.
You know, it's a little hard to keep track of, to tell you the truth. I don't know. I can tell you that we keep developing the list, and there's a couple of – we have some links on our website called The Rescue Film that lists the states and the links to find out about sanctuaries in your neighborhood. Fortunately, it's growing every day. I know when we were filming, we were at 31 states in the U.S. that now have farm animal sanctuaries,
wow,
which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to your point about, you know, the theme of compassion. And I did like that this film, it's very easy to watch. You know, there isn't really a lot of tough footage or things that often, you know, scare people away from thinking about changing their diet because they just don't want to know. And you intersperse some statistics about, you know, how many animals are raised for food and things like that throughout the film. But it really is about the people's stories. And so I think for some people that they may not be, you know, they're compassionate beings, but they're not, they haven't turned around and applied that to humans or to animals. And so I think it's neat for them to see a level of compassion in other people and hopefully inspire them to think about, you know, how they can take their compassionate lifestyle to the next level.
Yeah. One of our intentions was we inserted those slates to, I feel like we need a certain amount of information, but my intention was to absolutely put no graphic footage. So I think that's something that really bears repeating because many people, even like, you know, associates, people that I know, your colleagues that know that I'm farm animal advocate, they said, well, I don't want to watch your film because, you know, I don't want to watch anything. I'm not going to watch that footage. And I said, no, this is me. And no, there's absolutely no graphic footage because, you know, we wanted it to be family oriented. We want to get the film into schools. And so we did, though, put in some slates about some statistics, but we felt that was the most gentle way without the impact of visuals. And we tried to really pair that with, you know, one of the things in the film is that is this theme of children making farm animal sounds, because the truth is, for most of us, those were some of the first sounds that we often learned. You know, mm-hmm. what does a cow do? What does a sheep do? What does the pig do? And it's very interesting, right, that this is such a part of these early childhood memories for us, but yet this very strong disconnect of, you know, who we are eating. So, yeah, this idea of just really bringing that compassion throughout the whole film and keeping kind of those little children's sounds and the most remarkable images that we were able to capture during our visit of people snuggling with animals. And, you know, we have the very moving story of Jenny Brown, Woodstock mm-hmm. Farm Animal Sanctuary, probably one of the other ones that a lot of your listeners might be familiar with. You know, she's a remarkable woman. You know, she has a prosthetic. She lost one of her legs to cancer as a child. And the energy at that sanctuary and the commitment that she's brought forward in with every living being and the difference that a prosthetic can make and really striving for these levels of care that most people could never even imagine or even know are happening. So, you know, to really share stories like that in the film. And we've had a few screenings so far. The film hasn't officially launched out into the world yet. But it's been remarkable, the people who have chosen a vegan lifestyle out of viewing the film, because they said those images of watching people cuddling with chickens or with pigs and playing soccer with cows, things that they never, like, it just wasn't even a possibility, right? We don't even know that these things can happen until we're educated.
Well, and I also really liked on the trailer, you had some really nice images of animals that are looking into your eyes so that you can connect with the fact that there is something going on back there behind those eyes that's more than just a machine meant for people to eat.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for noticing that. We're always happy, right? Animals are so unpredictable. Right?
Yeah.
You kind of hope they're going to look your way. You can't say, okay, excuse me, can you look over here right now?
And, you know, speaking of your son's cinematography skills, I thought the film was, you know, there's really some beautiful footage, you know, and after watching it, I was like, I wanted to get up and go visit a farm sanctuary because, I mean, it's really a beautiful, visually beautiful film also. And I think one of the leaders of one of the sanctuaries, you know, talked about how a visit to a farm sanctuary really opened his eyes and inspired him to go vegan and ultimately, you know, start their own animal sanctuary. And so I think this film will inspire people to want to go visit farm sanctuaries.
Thank you. Thank you. We certainly hope so. Through the end of the film, we have a bit of a call to action, of course, and that being one of the primary things that I think could make the greatest difference. Not everybody can get to a farm animal sanctuary, depending on where they live, but certainly at least we can bring those images through the film. But one of the founders, there's another very notable sanctuary outside of L.A., and we have some beautiful footage of the program that they offer. They've partnered up with the LAPD, the police force, and they bring inner-city kids out to the sanctuary.
Wow.
And it's remarkable, and it's amazing. And we got to be there and film one of the sessions. There was a couple of real highlights for me on my journey with this film, and that was one of them. And the co-founder of Gentle Barn, Ellie, was sharing that, you know, one of her favorite quotes is that the child services feel that the Gentle Barn does in 2 hours what it would take a therapist to do in about 7 months.
Wow.
Yeah, because they tell stories about the animals, and what you witness at a sanctuary are these animals that have been so, you know, like, you don't see the abuse, but, right, they're coming from horrific abuse situations, but yet they're trusting. They're trusting humans again. And So these children, and these programs are offered actually at numerous sanctuaries, these educational programs and therapy work, which a lot of people don't realize. Like, you know, one time I was at a talk with some a number of animal advocates, and they were talking about the best ways to channel your money. Let's say you can't be doing something hands-on, but you have a philanthropic desire to make a difference. And somebody was saying that farm animal sanctuaries like to keep one pig alive. You know, that would just take so much money and not a wise investment. Hmm. And I just come from three farm animal sanctuaries. And I stood up. I mean, I was just like brewing. And I actually had been there, to, you know, not planning on saying a peep and just supporting this author. And I stood up and I just couldn't help it. I said, look, I just came from watching, you know, and seeing these children and listening to the stories and the ripple effect of that one pig at that sanctuary and all the people that will come and visit and all the people that will reconnect, right, with their compassion and their innate wisdom and then make choices to be vegan and all the people that they will inspire and influence for the rest of their life, you can't put a price on that. And you can't, you know, you just really have no idea the infinite value of sanctuaries. So I really do think everybody should go, and everybody, you know, if they could have that experience. But Ellie's partner, one of the things that he said that is so beautiful in the film is, you know, we can all be our own sanctuary. We can all make compassionate choices every single day without, you know, having to be at a sanctuary. And that's what's really true, right? It's us taking the time to educate ourselves and then, you know, bringing that choice into action in our daily lives. Every single thing we do, you know, has a reaction.
You know, every animal that you've met during your time had a name and a story. Out of curiosity, does one animal in particular really stand out as having left a lasting impression upon you?
Oh, that's a tough question. Asking me to play favorites.
Yeah. We're putting you on the spot.
You know, what I would say is that every single sanctuary, there would usually be particularly one that I found myself gravitating to a little bit more than others. There is one animal that both of my sons would say clearly had the greatest impact on them, and he has quite a role in the movie. His name is Hershey. He's an amazing cow, a male cow who would have become veal. And his story is very inspiring. We met a bunch of cows, you know, who simply wouldn't be here because they came in as a male calf and would have gone off on the veal truck. And I would say, for me, it was more that I hadn't really spent time with a lot of farm animals. As a little girl, I had some distant cousins, and we went to their farm, and their pig had just given birth. And I met a piglet at a very ripe young age and screamed and cried that I couldn't have it as a pet. I bugged my parents who lived in suburban Pittsburgh for this pet pig. And no one back then had a pet pig. You just didn't, you know, now, you know, it's gone through phases where it's been a little bit more cool. But so I always kind of, I have to say, pigs have been kind of a motivating force. I have always, since a young child, felt that they were incredibly wise. I was very amazed by them. And part of the journey for me is I've really fallen in love with goats, and I got to spend time with cows. And I have to say, burros, I'd never been around a burro, and I think they're some of the most amazing beings. But sheep in particular have really touched my life in an amazing way. They're incredibly gentle beings. So, yeah, you can tell. I fell in love with everybody.
Naomi, it's a great film. Can you tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about it?
So our website is called ToRescueFilm.com, and we're launching sales of the DVD in honor of World Farm Animal Day. And we have Vegetarian Awareness Month coming up in October. Mm-hmm. So we were hoping that the film, bringing it out in honor of farm animals, and especially during the month of October, would be a great time to, you know, get as many screenings scheduled as we can and really start to bring out this very compassionate side of farm animals into the world.
We've been talking with Naomi Sophia Call, producer and co-director of the film Called to Rescue. Thanks for being with us, Naomi.
Thank you also very much.